Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. It's not God's will for you and I as His people to be defeated, or to be overwhelmed, or to be overcome. The Scripture says He always causes us to triumph. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You have to stay hooked with Him to experience that. You have to listen to Him, because without Him, we can do nothing. But we're not without Him. And with Him, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So get your Bible, get something to make a note with. Come into the classroom. We've saved a seat right here in the front for you. And turn everything else off. Give the Lord your full attention, and you'll get answers. Lord, we thank You so much. You are so gracious, so faithful, so good. We all agree together and ask You for the utterance, the direction, the anointing, the help for everyone for now. And we give You the thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We've been on a series now for a number of weeks that we're calling Faith for Provision. Do you need any provision?
Yes.
Just like every day. Right? Right? Provision. Provision. Do we need provision? Yeah. You need something to eat, something to wear, place to stay, way to move around. If you got a family, you need more. Mm-hmm. If you got a business, you need more. Mm-hmm. If you got a church, you need more. Or a ministry, right?
Right.
And we wouldn't be able to have this studio and this equipment. We wouldn't be able to come to you like this if we didn't have substantial provision. Well, does the Lord want us to have it?
Yes.
Or not? Yes. Well, we've become convinced that abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Say it out loud with me, class. Abundant provision,
abundant provision
is always
God's will,
for us all.
For us all.
Say it again. Abundant provision, is always God's will, for me. What are we saying? It's not God's will for us to go through times where we can't pay our bills. And we're not able to help anybody else, and we're in lack, and we're behind, and that's not the will of God. That's not normal for us, right? If we're experiencing some of that, we need to get serious about seeking God. What's wrong? What do I need to change, right? Because His will is always abundant provision. And the reason we say that is not just some wishful thinking or my opinion or somebody else's opinion. We're giving you one by one 30. I mean, the Bible said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Well, we didn't stop at three, right? Or at five. So we're giving you 30 reasons from Scripture, not opinion, not theory, scriptures, why we're sure that God doesn't want us broke. He doesn't want us poor. Our first one that we looked at was, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Is He your shepherd?
Yes.
Does He want you in lack? Or, we looked at different translations. It said, the Lord's my shepherd, I'm never in need. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll always have everything I need. And so we went number 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 15. We're down now. I believe it's the number 18, I think, in our study is the next one. But if you weren't with us for these, they're worth your time. Go online to faithschool.org and you'll see all of these lessons are there. And this segment of Faith for Provision is all there. No cost, no charge, no commitment required, except just take some time. And it'll help you because we're building on each one. And we're down now, like we said, to reason number 17 and 18 in our study. We looked at the covenant blessing. Go back to Deuteronomy 28, please. We were looking at this, and we saw that God is a covenant God, always has been, always will be. He makes covenants. And this is so much for our benefit. He is the greater one in the covenant, and we're the lesser one. Well, the party that benefits the most in a covenant is the lesser one. Right? Because if you and I come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm in covenant with you, so everything I am, everything I have, it belongs to you too. It's available to you. Well, that's sweet. That's nice. But when he turns around and says, yeah, and I'm in covenant with you, and everything I am and everything I have, but man, that's shouting ground there now. That is big, big stuff. And that is how it is. You know, Jesus said before he ascended, he said, it's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Whew, the kingdom. And you know, in the story he told about the prodigal son and the elder son that was confused about things, he said, son, all that I have is yours. Woo!
Hallelujah.
Is this true? It really goes beyond our mind what this is. But suffice it to say that if your spirit begins to get a hold of this, it will just jump up and down. It will do leaps, right? About the reality that I am in eternal covenant with the Almighty God by faith in His Son Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That now has made me a son of God. I'm adopted into the kingdom, made a new creation in Christ Jesus, and now a joint heir.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
With who?
Jesus.
With Jesus. Mm. Well, if you're a joint heir, that means you have an equal share.
Hallelujah.
With what Jesus has?
Yes.
Wow.
Wow is right. Wow. Right?
Yeah.
Somebody say, wow.
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 Wow. Big wow.
Big wow.
Big, big wow. Well, God, this is not new for God. He's always been a covenant God. He made covenant with Noah. To give them consolation, because you have to think about it. After what happened in Noah's time, any time you heard thunder, is that right? You go, oh Lord, right? Now, we're laughing, but I'm serious. I mean, when you saw lightning and you felt some sprinkles, you would go, oh God, is it going to happen again? You know, but the Lord put His bow in the sky and made a covenant with them that never again. And so that gave them strong consolation, right? And comfort that every time there would be a cloud or a storm or a rain or whatever, that then they could see that bow and then they could know, remember the covenant, right? Well, the covenant should be like that with us. He made covenant with Abraham and his seed after him. And ultimately, that seed is Jesus. And ultimately, you and I are now the seed of Abraham. Amen. Is that right?
Yes.
And so, partakers of the covenant. And so, the seed of Abraham then, all of the Israelites, the 2-3 million of them, whatever that was delivered out of Egyptian bondage, they're all descendants of Abraham. And the 12 tribes. And so they already, whether they're walking in it or not, they have a covenant. They're part of a covenant. You know, it's really sad that so many people on the planet have covenant privileges that they don't even know about, that they're not even aware of. You know, there are times when Jesus was ministering on the earth, like with the woman that had the issue of blood, you know. She applied too, but the woman that was bent over for the 13 years, and the Lord said, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, these 18 years be loosed from this infirmity on the Sabbath day? See, she didn't know it, but she's a daughter of Abraham. She should have been loosed 13 years ago. Isn't that something? And Jesus, thank God, he's walking in the light and truth and knows it and affects it. Calls her out and ministers her to her. She straightens up. But he said, she's a daughter of Abraham. What does that mean? She has a covenant. She has a covenant. She couldn't straighten herself up. The doctors couldn't fix her. She couldn't fix her. But she's already in covenant with somebody who could.
Amen.
Come on, say it out loud. I am in covenant.
I am in covenant.
With the Almighty God.
With the Almighty God.
I am in covenant.
I am in covenant.
With the great physician.
With the great physician.
With the creator.
With the creator.
The great protector.
Great protector.
The great provider.
Great provider.
The great healer.
The great healer.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, then you have covenant privileges. In Deuteronomy 28, he reaffirmed the covenant and he gave an expansion of the requirements and commitments and benefits, the blessing and the curse of keeping the covenant or breaking the covenant. And it was so serious. He said, when you get to the place, and he told him the two hills, Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, he said, put up huge stones, plaster over them to make a flat writing surface, and write the entire curses and blessings of the law on them, and get these tribes to stand over here on this mount, get these other tribes to stand over here, and they were to proclaim it, like we would say, in front of God and everybody. Right? What? The covenant. That we are God's covenant people. And we have entered into covenant with Him, and we are making commitments to hear Him, to obey Him, to listen to Him. And He said, and I've made commitments to you, to bless you, to keep you, to protect you.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, the reason I'm taking time going over this, we're still in covenant today.
Yes.
What's the name of our covenant? New covenant.
New.
But it's still covenant,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
New covenant. Now, God has not changed. From then, from here, from Deuteronomy, from any place in the past, He doesn't need to change. He has not changed. Our covenant has changed because mankind from that point, from Adam and Eve, all the way to the current day, have miserably failed to keep covenant. Have broken the covenant. Had not listened to God, not done what He said. And if He just left man at that, man is lost, man is cursed, man is separated from Him. But He cared so much about us.
Amen.
That He didn't just let us go.
Yeah.
Huh? But He sent Jesus. And Jesus became a curse for us, took the curse, was cursed in our place, so that we no longer have to be cursed and we no longer have to earn the blessing. Woo, glory to God. But that the blessing was given to us. He took the curse. We got the blessing. Best deal you ever made in your entire life. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Go to Galatians, the third chapter, and let's read this wonderful New Testament revelation of this. And yet this refers back to what we were reading in Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26 and other places. Galatians 3 and 7. He said, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Is that us?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Are we of faith?
Yes.
Faith people?
Yes.
Faith in the Lord? Faith in God? Well, then we are also the children of Abraham. Let's just stop right here. With all that we've been talking about, what should you think immediately? Abraham has a covenant. Is that right? Is that right? A covenant with God that protected him and kept him, treated him like the friend of God, and made him rich and recovered him when his wife was taken from him, got his wife back, right? When his kinfolks were taken away, got his kinfolks back. I mean, the covenant and the blessing Abraham lived in. Well, that covenant was not just to him, it was to his seed, his descendants after him perpetually. And so now you is one.
Amen.
Amen.
Hmm? I am one.
Yes.
What? Child of Abraham.
Yes.
And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, that's what we used to be, heathen. Preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. If you hear the true gospel, you will hear about blessing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
If you never hear about the blessing, you haven't heard the whole gospel.
Right.
Keep going. So then, they which be of faith, we've already decided that's you.
Yes.
They are what?
Blessed.
Then we are the children of Abraham, and we are of faith, and we are blessed with faithful Abraham. See, we read about that in Deuteronomy 28. He said, keeping the covenant with him, that you would be, he said, I'm going to make you high above all the nations. Anywhere. He said, you're going to be blessed when you go out, when you come in the city, in the country, in the field, in your basket, in your store, in your body, in your investments, everything you put your hand to. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord. He said, I'm going to make you the head, not the tail, above, not beneath. Can you hear any poverty anywhere in there? No, this is what the blessing does in the life of the person in covenant with him. And that's what he's saying. We are blessed with Abraham. Well, why wouldn't the blessing do the same thing for us that it did for Abraham? Why wouldn't the blessing do the same thing today that it did then? If it's the same blessing. Well, you see, most folks don't believe that though. They thought, well, they believe some goofy stuff like, you just never know what God's going to do. I'd rather believe this,
amen,
right?
Amen.
That I am blessed with faithful Abraham. Come on, say it out loud. I am.
I am.
Blessed.
Blessed.
With faithful Abraham.
With faithful Abraham.
He goes on to say, as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse. And we're going to see a little bit later, in the next part of Deuteronomy 28, he talks about the curse. Well, the curse is just as real as the blessing.
Right.
Yes. And both of them are in the earth,
mm-hmm,
the curse and the blessing. And you don't have to have a vision and see in the spirit to be aware of which one's working.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at the results,
yeah,
in people's life. And the more you learn about it, you can immediately go, that's the curse, right?
Yes.
Or that's the blessing. And you don't have to have a vision to know that. It's the, like we said before, the blessing does things for you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The curse does what? Things against you. against you. And people, even unsaved people, say things like that. You know, seems like I you know, take a step forward and get knocked back too. Everything's against me. Huh? And what are we talking about? That you toil and work and can't seem to get ahead, and just about time you start building something up, it gets taken away from you, or you lose it, or you get sick, or you have to quit, or curse. Y'all with me?
Yes.
And yet, you got church-going people trying to tell us it could be a blessing in disguise for these things to happen to us and to lose these things. No, see, this is confusion. And this is contradicting scriptures. One of the most important things to get settled is that a blessing is a blessing. It'll always be a blessing. It will never be a curse. Right? And a curse is a curse. It always was a curse. Always will be a curse. It will never be a blessing or some kind of blessing in disguise. Come on, even think about the silliness and preposterousness of God dressing up and disguising a blessing as a curse. God's not into such perverse things. No, there is blessing.
Amen.
And there is curse. What does God want you to have?
Blessing.
Only blessing. Does He want you to have the curse?
No.
Does He ever want you to have the curse? That's why Jesus came and went to the cross. Is to get the curse off of us. Did He do it? Did He? Did He do a good job?
Yes,
He did. And that's what this is talking about right here. With the result that believers are no longer cursed, but are blessed. Thank you, Lord. He goes on to say, verse 11, the latter part of it, the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. Living by the law was not living by faith. Now see, Abraham's time was before the law. Abraham didn't live by the law. There was no law. There was no law for him to go by. He just walked with God.
Mm-hmm.
And when God told him something, he believed it.
Yep.
I mean, something as broad as look up in the sky. Huh? Can you count all the stars? No. That's how many your descendants will be. Did he understand that? No. Did he know how that could possibly ever come to? No. You don't have to understand to believe.
Yes.
Believing is a choice.
Yes.
And he chose to believe, and it was counted to him for righteousness.
Hallelujah.
And he's held up as an example for us forever. What he said, you do the same thing. When the Lord tells you something about your redemption in Christ, you don't understand it. You won't be able to figure it all out. Just say amen.
Amen.
Yes, I believe it. If you say I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, I am. If you say I'm healed, I am. If you say I'm blessed, I am. I am. Agree with Him. And so he says that. He said, verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, friend, that's gospel. I said, that's gospel. What do you mean, Brother Keith? What is gospel? Gospel is good news, right? This is some of the best news you will ever hear in your life. As we're going to get into later and see, the curse is absolutely horrific. It is terrible bad. It's awful bad. And everybody that has sinned and left God deserves the curse. Deserves it. And all of us have sinned and come short. Oh, but because of what Jesus did,
amen,
I don't have to be cursed.
Exactly.
Oh, hallelujah. Because He has redeemed me. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Said out loud, Christ, the Anointed One,
has redeemed me.
Now, redeem means like somebody that was sold as a slave and somebody came and bought them and gave them their freedom. Hallelujah. You and I were sold under sin, under bondage. And, you know, as a general thing, a slave can't buy themselves. They don't have the ability to, so they're stuck. But somebody else could. Somebody else could come along and buy you. And instead of making you their slave then, give you your freedom. Oh, hallelujah. That's redemption. I said, that's redemption. Somebody say, I've been redeemed.
I've been redeemed.
I've been bought with a price.
Bought with a price.
Bought and paid for.
Bought and paid for.
And given total freedom. He said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. The way he did it was being made a curse for us in our place. As it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. That's what happened on the cross that you could not see. He was made sin, and he was made a curse. And the punishment for sin and the curse that resulted from that fell on him there. And it was awful, truly awful, beyond imagination. That's why he cried out at one point, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he did it for us. And the result, verse 14, is so that what? So that the blessing of Abraham, we're back to that, might come on the Gentiles who were heathens, us, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Is this good or is this good? Oh man, your spirit just leaps about this. And your head's going, what? What are we so excited? You said, just stay hooked. You'll get it. Said out loud, I've been redeemed.
I've been redeemed.
Christ has redeemed me.
From the curse of the law.
And the blessing of Abraham.
Is mine.
Glory to God. Well, our time's up again. And this is something you want to meditate on the rest of the day. And the rest of the night, the rest of the week. And every once in a while when it crosses your mind, you just need to open up your mouth and say it again. I'm redeemed.
I'm redeemed.
I'm redeemed from the curse. And the blessing is mine. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today. But you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.